Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Literacy Advocate. I'm your host, Timmy Bauer, and my guest today is Beth Powell. She is a 9 through 12th science teacher in Watkins Glen, New York. She's been a teacher for 18 years, having served 6th through 12th, and she studied English in her undergrad and is currently working on her PhD in curriculum, instruction, and the science of learning from the University of Buffalo. Beth, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to talk to you. We're going to be talking about something that I don't often talk about with anybody on this podcast, very focused on literacy in the like ELA world, not so much scientific literacy, but we're going to talk about scientific literacy today. And I asked you last time you and I talked, I was like, what's a commonly held belief in scientific literacy that you passionately disagree with? And you said there's a common belief that it's all about jargon. It's all about memorizing and understanding jargon. When people think of scientific literacy, that's what they think of. And you're saying that's wrong. So can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. So I think that we've become sort of invested in having, you know, students memorize different terminology and things like that. And that's what we end up mostly testing on is, do they know this terminology? And I think that it just really doesn't give us a good idea of actually understanding anything about science.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You were saying that jargon is very, very important. But there's not enough thinking and exploring of ideas. So what do you mean by that?
I think that, you know, in the world of science, you're really trying to come up with your hypotheses, your explanations for things. You're trying to be able to test them. And when we're having kids just kind of day in and day out learn, oh, here's the new term for today, or here's the new terms for this unit, I don't think we're really getting at the heart of what science is really about.
How big of a problem do you think this is? Like, how often are you seeing that is science is memorizing these things?
I mean, honestly, I see it quite a bit, right? So I have both 10th graders and 12th graders this year, and it's been, of course, it's been a difficult year, right? But I just am seeing them sort of focus on, oh, I need to memorize this. Just give me what I need to memorize and let's move on with our lives.
And why do you think that? What's motivating that?
I think that's what they've had leading up to now, at least in terms of science. I think that at the elementary level, we're not doing a lot of science. That's not the focus. And when it is, that's what it's based on, is kind of, can you repeat back these facts that we've given you? I think even at the middle school level, a little bit, we see that. And so the kids come to high school and we're trying to get them to really think like scientists and participate in that process.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, I'd rather just memorize some stuff.
Why is that a problem? Let's say I know I'm not going to grow up to be a scientist.
So I think you know, one, you're not developing your critical thinking skills in general, right? When you're doing that, I think you're selling yourself short in the learning process. But two, I think there's so much that we need in our everyday lives around science. So you've got, you know, trips to the doctor, you've got things that are going to be voted on as we are exploring more in the world of like genetic engineering. Issues are going to come up, and if people are going to understand them and be able to make an informed decision, they do have to have a little bit of scientific literacy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think about just my life. So I've not done anything that I can think of that would qualify as like being in the field of science. And yet I'm so glad that I learned things like the scientific method and just the idea that you would test everything and set up actual scientific tests for things that you want to try and see if they're going to be successful, so that you can figure out, you know, so that you can isolate specific things. Like in the world of marketing, for example, where I've worked for a couple of years, it's all about figuring out how to isolate different things to determine, is this, you know, does this land better than this? And that's very much the scientific method. So I would also just push back on anybody that is sort of like, oh, I know I'm not going to grow up and be a scientist. Yeah. Yeah. I think we should all be a little bit scientist.
Yeah. And we use it in our everyday lives and don't even think about it. You know, I'm just even simply like, we've had a lot of snow up here lately. being able to put salt out to kind of melt the ice, right? I mean, there's science behind that.
Yeah.
I've read somewhere, putting coffee grounds out would at least reduce like the slippage, right? Yeah. There's some science behind that.
So how do you combat this? How do you build true scientific literacy in students?
You know, at the high school level, I think we're really trying to get students to learn how to ask questions and ask kind of open-ended questions that could be explored. That's one of the things we've tried to move towards, despite the fact that we have, you know, an end of the year test to worry about. I think as a whole department, K-12, really trying to support the elementary teachers in what they're doing, as far as, you know, making materials available to them or helping them figure out maybe what's a good way to approach this with younger kids.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so much of it comes down to teaching kids the value of thinking critically and also hypothesizing. I mean, I feel like conversations are much richer when I can ask you a question like, Beth, why do you think this is such a problem? Well, you're about to hypothesize to me why you think this is such a problem.
Yeah.
And I am curious, why do you think this is such a problem?
Oh, so I've seen it recently, right? We have, of course, the COVID vaccine has become a thing, and we had a clinic at school, and a lot of the teachers got it. And I heard in the hallways the kids saying, oh, better watch out. Now all the teachers have the virus. And it turns out we don't, right? It turns out we're going to be better protected. But that was their like go-to, because that's what they've kind of heard or picked up in the news.
Yeah.
And it's not good if we're just going to pick up that kind of one thing that we hear and not be able to stop and think critically about it or know how to really maybe just look a little deeper to find out what's actually going on.
Well, I'm curious why you think it's such a problem that the world of scientific literacy is so often reduced to terminology instead of deeper ways of thinking and understanding the natural world.
So I think that in today's day and age, we can look up the terminology if we come across it, right? So if I don't remember what RNA is, to go back to our vaccine example, I could look that up, right? And then I would be able to understand the rest of it without, I didn't need to memorize that in order to get it. When I first started teaching AP biology, it was like the next level up. And I had to go back and look at some things, you know, but I understood the overall process. And when I read it, I was like, okay, yeah, I got it. I can now, you know, deliver this to some students.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Beth, what do you think is the way forward? Like if you were to be prescriptive to science teachers that are listening and any teachers that are listening, what would you want them to do differently than they're probably doing?
I think that we're selling, you know, science to kids as this very dry and boring, you know, subject. You just got to memorize stuff. And I think, in fact, that science is actually a pretty creative process, right? So you're coming up with your questions, you're coming up with your hypotheses, you're usually figuring out a way to test those things. And that's all actually very creative. And I think we really need students to see that side of things. And to understand that they're not going to work isolated in a lab by themselves with no social contact with people.
Yeah.
That's not actually how scientists work, even though kind of depicted that way maybe in our heads. And I think that kind of having that atmosphere in the classroom would help, right? Making it a more social process, making it a more creative process.
Yeah. My audience is mostly English teachers or reading coaches, people that deal with English literacy. Is there anything that you think would be beneficial in the world of science if they understood or started practicing more?
I think you could have, you know, there's an argument to be made for many of the practices in science are also applicable in other subject areas, right? And you kind of said it yourself with your marketing example, but like the idea of being able to ask questions, right?
Yeah.
There's actually a reading strategy where if you have to read a lot of information, it's good to kind of look at the headings, ask yourself some questions ahead of time, because it helps you to focus and stay in tune with what you're trying to read, because now you're trying to answer your own questions, right? That's what science is all about. So I think that there's a lot of crossover. I think that oftentimes students don't have the background, like knowledge exposure, because they haven't been exposed as much in elementary school, or because they haven't read as much in you know, something that includes science of some sort.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about how, when I think about English curriculum, and just like students learning how to write, so often, at least my experience was, this is how you write. And they would just sort of tell us, you know, how to write, and, you know, do headings this way, do paragraphs this way. There wasn't a lot of, hey, what's out, what is being reacted to positively in the market right now when it comes to written content? No, not that, that didn't even enter into the conversation.
Yeah.
But I'm like, that's science touching literacy. Mm-hmm. Is, hold on a minute. If we write headlines the way that we were taught to do it, does that perform as well in the market as if we write them this way? What about opening paragraphs? What performs better in, out there in the market? And by market, I just mean, you know, the blog world, or the world of scripts for YouTube videos, or wherever you're actually going to apply the things that you learn in literacy education.
Right. Yeah, I think we've really limited kids with that sort of prescriptive five paragraph essay format.
Yep.
I know just in our school, I have an English colleague who does a big unit on debate and argument. That's a crossover right there. We're always asking kids to take the data, take the evidence, right, and support the claim that they're trying to make. I don't see any difference in how that was done in the debate unit in English class, right? That's a crossover skill right there.
Yeah, agreed. Beth, thank you so much for being on this podcast. How can listeners connect with you?
So I am on Twitter. My handle there is bpowell62012. I'm on Facebook, but I keep it mostly Twitter.
I'm barely ever on Facebook. For the most part, if I'm communicating with teachers, it's Twitter.
Yeah. The education world is kind of taking over the Twitter world. Yeah. Yep.
I wonder if it's going to move over to Clubhouse. Have you seen Clubhouse?
I've seen it. I haven't done it yet, but I've heard some people talking about it.
Oh man. I need to get with some other education podcasters and be like, we should start doing some Clubhouse rooms.
Yeah.
That I'm gonna add that to my long list of shoulds.
yep should do this.
Beth, it was wonderful talking to you. Thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.